I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Carver, I've got to hold my hand in here. There's a lot of mistakes being made by me on a daily basis.
Usually, that's not true at all.
On average, 30 a day. I mean, come on.
I think it's more like 10. It's not 10? 30. It's not 30.
I'm wrong 30 times a day, but you're saying only 10 grave errors.
Only 10 that people would notice.
So that's a difference than being wrong. 30 wrong average is different than just making 10 mistakes.
There's only 10 that people would notice.
So if I have like 4 turnovers in a game tomorrow night in the semifinal, that would count toward those 10.
Probably.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. 855-212-4CBS. It's 4227. Now, real quick, I'm going to go to Jeremy Kahn of the Fan in Baltimore. But before I do that, Carver High, Jeff Passan is reporting that Ohtani needs Tommy John surgery. The Angels just got this guy, and he needs Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, he's saying that he has a tear in his UCL, I believe.
You have got to be kidding me that you go and get that player and beat everyone in baseball to that player to put him with Mike Trout and this superstar from Japan, and you don't do your due diligence and check out his body, and you're unable to see that his elbow's blown out? Is that not the funniest, like, most egregious mistake ever? I mean, honestly, how do you miss that?
I guess we won't have to worry about him doing both. He's probably going to have to hit.
So do you fix it now, or do you? What are you going to do, just let it linger and get worse?
I don't know. We'll have to see if what's going on with it. It could be something that, I mean, Tanaka had
Weren't we just
thing.
Talking about Tommy John last night? Like, we'd put him in just because of his name?
Tanaka had the same thing a few years ago, and he pitched through it.
Is that right? All right. He does terrific on the road. All right, Jeremy Kahn's our buddy from the Fan in the Charm City in Baltimore, 105.7. How's it going, Jeremy? Happy holidays, dude.
What's up, Scotty? How are you?
I'm chilling. So the game the other night was insane. I mean, I thought the Ravens played terrific. Now, you know I'm a Steeler fan, but I got to tell you, I thought the Ravens beat their ass the whole night, and they just look. That was the best football game, in my view, even though they lost, that they played all year. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, obviously a lot of things could have been better, but offensively, we haven't seen them show up like that since a Thursday night game against the Dolphins where, you know, Matt Moore basically had 2 days to get ready for him, and they just drudged them up and down the field. But, yeah, I mean, the offense was doing a great job of moving up and down the field, and I thought both teams had great strategies coming in from the offensive side of the ball, but a lot of fun to watch. I mean, the Ravens would have liked to have been on the winning side of it, but I think there's some good things to take away from it.
So they think that, obviously, you notice, you're there. I'm not, but I follow the scene in Baltimore, obviously, and talk a lot about, you know, the Ravens and, you know, even the Orioles. So my question is this. They think they're still going to the playoffs, and they think that they're actually going to play the Steelers again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the mindset of a Ravens fan is if you look at their last three games, all are extremely winnable. It's the Browns, it's the Colts, and the Bengals. And the toughest of the three, the Cincinnati game, will be at home. And I think even like a lot of projections have the Ravens' playoff chances really high. I mean, Buffalo still has to play New England one more time. And then you start looking at some of the other tiebreakers that are out there. A lot of those teams play each other. So I think that's why the percentages are so high. And then if you're a Ravens fan and you're trying to be an optimist, you're realistically telling yourself we're either going to Jacksonville, which we know Jacksonville's defense is playing great, but I don't think a lot of fans are necessarily scared of that team. To Kansas City, to San Diego, I mean, I think you'd have an opportunity to win any one of those three games. So, and then the possibility of obviously meeting the Steelers or the Patriots in the next round.
Wow. Jeremy Kahn with us. So do they actually – There's a lot of people I saw the odds of them making it are like really strong if you believe in all that stuff. Do you believe in all that when these television networks start kicking out percentages? And because I think it's a load of crap that they come out with. Oh, they got an 82% chance to make the playoffs. Like, I wonder, what do they sit around and do this over sandwiches? I really don't. Where do they come up with this stuff?
Somebody's making terrible money doing that stuff, just sitting around crunching numbers. But I guess so, because, like I said, the teams that are in the mix, and it's funny because if you talked to me 3 weeks ago, we'd have been going, ugh, the Ravens playoff team. I mean, even if they get in, what are they going to do? And then you have a night like last night where the Dolphins beat the Patriots, and then you see the Ravens play the Steelers tough, and, you know, you can make a case that they if they do a few things differently, they win that game. And then you look at who they're going to face in the first round. I mean, realistically, who's good in the league anymore?
Well, I mean, do you think the Steelers are good?
I do, but I've been saying all year long, I think they're fool's gold, man. And the reason being is it's the way that they play to the level of their opponent, especially if they have to go on the road. I think if they can beat the Patriots this weekend, which I think is a tall order, especially them coming off a loss, but you know, if they can beat them and get home field, I think it'll help. But I can't figure out why Pittsburgh plays so poor on the road. And it always comes down to these walk-off field goals, if you will.
Yeah, Jeremy Conlett is from the Fan of Baltimore. Because that's a great way of looking at it, fool's goal, because I keep saying on the show that, and we're on in Pittsburgh as well, on the Fan there, and I'm always saying that, I mean, they just keep living on the edge, and they're playing all these games and winning by last second, and they're giving up all these points, and their defense is... it's never been the same since Hayden went out, stopping the pass, and then now they've lost Shazier. I think, you know, I respect Ryan's speed, but mm-hmm. I think the talk about him being this all-world linebacker, I'm just not there with that. I think he's overrated. I think they act like he's Jack Lambert or something, and I just don't find that to be the case. And he's been injured in the last couple of years. Now he's injured again. Obviously, this is devastating, this injury to his back. But I just don't think their defense is the same, frankly, with either one of those guys not in the lineup. And I just don't think, you know, I like them. I think they're a really good team, but they're living on the edge. Like you said, fool's gold. I think they're beatable.
Well, and that's the thing. It's just like you look at the AFC, and I'm not one of these guys that hates the Steelers. I mean, I have the utmost respect for them. And Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, these guys are fun to watch, and you'd like to see them go deep in the playoffs. But, you know, the big question is, you know, when we look at the AFC, I think realistically most fans will say, well, there's two teams. There's New England and Pittsburgh. But, you know, who else? I mean, when you look across the board, that has Pittsburgh dominated or beat? You know, you look at the teams, you can only play who's on your schedule. I just think the league's really watered down. And then we get this horrific news with the NFC with Carson Wentz going down. And you look at some of the situations there, and it's like, who do you buy into realistically in that conference? And then, you know, it's probably going to be the Pats again unless Pittsburgh can steal one this weekend. And I don't mean steal one. I mean, that's a very winnable game, but I don't know. I'm a little bit superstitious. I feel like coming off the loss on Monday night, that New England's going to come out and put their best foot forward.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let me ask you this question. As far as, like, because Flacco and Harbaugh have been there forever now, it seems like to me, anyway, I wonder what it seems like to you guys. Do you think, because everybody's still – you know, down with these guys and, like, just keep soldiering on with the same staff and the same guys and everything. Do you think that he's better than his and also, do you think he's better than his brother? Because he's taking a lot of heat in Ann Arbor for not being able to beat his rivals, whereas, you know, John has actually been very consistent down in Baltimore, you know, winning and, you know, going to big games, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I think... You know, when it comes to John, it's funny. You get two different coaches after wins and losses. I think this week he had an 8-minute press conference after the loss, with Pittsburgh. But you know, fans get tired. They always want what's next. And when the Ravens have been struggling since the Super Bowl win, and they paid Joe all that money, and he really hasn't lived up to the hype, if you will. I mean, I remember the Super Bowl year. It was kind of funny. I did an event with Flacco, just talked to him about his contract situation. And he's really a guy that bet on himself. I mean, it's a great story. He bet on himself. He ends up throwing 11 touchdowns and zero picks in the postseason. A lot of those plays, if you go back and watch it, were 50-50 balls that he threw up to the receivers, and they made a bunch of plays. But it's just a great story, and he got paid for it. But he hasn't been that type of quarterback since then. And, I mean, the numbers show it. But you can also say that he's had a circus full of, you know, trot him in, quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, and it's been a constant group of people coming in every single year that he's been dealing with. And, you know, a lot of fans here would tell you that he didn't have top-notch receivers. But in the end, you got to get it done. And I think the same thing applies with Harbaugh. You know, when they were losing, everybody's like, if he doesn't win this year and get to the postseason, he's done. If he doesn't do this, he's done. You know, fans were getting upset over it. But I still think, you know, they're going to make the postseason, in my opinion, this year. And I still think they're both back next year. Flacco's contract, they couldn't do anything with it for at least two more years, I believe.
So Jeremy Conwood is from Afternoons on the Fan of Baltimore, 105.7. Let me shift real quick to Manny Machado. I think he's a badass, and I think people here, you know, the talk is here the Yankees want him. And I want to know, does that make everyone in Baltimore want to hurl?
Absolutely, man. The thought of seeing him in pinstripes, the fact that he wears 13 and A-Rod wore 13, and you look at all the things in line, that was his idol growing up. He's from Miami. I think all of it makes too much sense for him to end up there. And I think Baltimore fans would hate to see it because, you know, for people outside of Baltimore, maybe fans that get to watch him, because I know there's some hatred. There was some immaturity on his part early on in his career. Excuse me. And you look at him, defensively, he's an absolute stud. I mean, you could put him at shortstop or third, and he immediately becomes one of the best defensive players at that position in the game. And, you know, he started off slow last year, but he can hit for power. He can hit for average. He can do it all. And I don't know. He feels like one of those generational players. And me growing up, the Orioles are the only team I had here to root for so many years. It's you know, I'm dying for the Orioles to pay up and keep him. But from the way that everything's set up for them, I don't think it makes sense. I think they have to move him or just go balls to the wall and try to win this year and then see what happens. But if he hits the open market, they can't compete with the Yankees, with the Dodgers, with the Cubs as far as spending. They just can't.
Do you think they, let's say, because, you know, there's talk that they want, what were they, 75, 87. Do you think they want to rebuild? And obviously they want pitching. Do you have any indication on what they want for this guy if they were to give him up?
Well, it's funny. I was reading a report today that one GM had said the Orioles are the biggest flirt at the party. They like to talk to everybody, but nothing ever happens. But, you know, when it comes down to it, the story was that they want two starting pitchers that are controllable for a few years. And I just don't know what team. I mean, the only team that I could think of that might be able to do something like that is the Dodgers, but I still don't know if you're getting two controllable pitchers if you were going to move them. And then, you know, there was reports, there's a lot of people from the Orioles, you know, scouting staff, and it used to be in the front office with Andy McPhail with the Phillies. The Phillies are really intrigued, but the story was they want 72 hours to try to negotiate with them. And Machado's not going to negotiate with anybody where he doesn't want to be. You know, he's going to get his $250, $300 million over however many years. You know, because when we're talking about some of the top players in the game, I think he's easily one of the best. And I'm not saying it just because I'm in Baltimore. You know, if he went anywhere, I think he's a premier player.
Would Jones freak out if they got rid of him?
Well, I think a lot of people are more worried about Scope because Jonathan Scope, who many people got to see this year, he came on like gangbusters. But he's a guy that the Orioles really, really like. And, you know, they want to sign him to an extension. But, you know, after this year, Manny Machado's up, Zach Britton's up, Brad Brock, and Adam Jones. So they got to figure out exactly what they're doing. They do have some young outfielders that they really like in their farm system. But, again, it's going to be an interesting year to see what happens not only this season, but in the offseason next year.
So this week at the Browns on the road, you're not going to fall prey to that disaster by losing to them, are you? Because that would just be heinous if they lost to the Browns. The Browns are terrible. They always find a way to lose. The Ravens aren't going to get suckered in there, are they?
Well, I think this game's going to be closer than what people think. The Ravens, the Browns always get up when they play Baltimore, no matter what their records are. And I think the Browns are a little bit better than we give them credit for. I almost think that someone's hitting that Buffalo Wild Wings switch in the fourth quarter to tell them it's time to go lose the football game, man. Because you tell me this, like, I know you do picks. I do picks on my show, and I had the Browns as my lock of the week, and everybody's telling me I'm crazy. With 4 minutes left to go in the game, I'm getting tweets saying, man, that's an awesome pick. I can't believe you saw that happening. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me how this thing ends.
Did you? That was the worst. That was the worst. I had him, too, at that 3.5, and I thought that was just – I cannot believe they let Adams score a touchdown on that pass, on that slant, with like four guys there to tackle him, and he spins out and goes house. I almost died watching that. That was the worst beat ever.
I hit every single game this weekend except that one, including the Army-Navy game, and I'm going, you have to be kidding me. Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
But again, it's a divisional game, and to me, this is the Browns Super Bowl. You know, Cleveland leaves town. The Browns leave town. They become the Baltimore Ravens. They've hated them ever since. You got people urinating on Art Modell's grave and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that hatred's always going to be there. So if they're going to get up, and I know the Steelers are a longtime rival, but if they're going to get up for one game, it's going to be the Ravens. And you know this as well as I do. When the Ravens and Steelers play the next week, those guys all look like they've been in car accidents. So I think the Ravens start off slow, but I think the Browns do what the Browns always do and lose the game.
There you go. Hey, Jeremy, always great having you on the bench. Have a great Christmas, Pharrellmas, New Year, everything. I love you. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Thanks, Scotty. Anytime.
My man, Jeremy Kahn, afternoons on The Fan in Baltimore.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so Saturday, Chicago and Detroit at Ford Field. The Bolts are at Arrowhead. That also Saturday. Sunday, Miami, Buffalo, Green Bay, Carolina, Phillies at the G-Men. LAR, that's the Rams in Seattle. The game of the day is New England, Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. Sunday night, Dallas, Oakland. Monday night, Atlanta, Tampa. You have to be on PharrellOnTheBench.com. All of the picks, money lines, and spreads, plus all of the bowl games for the entire bowl season are up and posted. Money lines and spreads, they're all there at PharrellOnTheBench.com. College hoops, best games this week, Villanova Temple tomorrow night, and Philadelphia Saturday, Notre Dame, Indiana. Best games, NBA, Thursday, Lakers, Cleveland, Saturday, Oak City, and the Knicks at the Garden. And then NHL Thursday, Pittsburgh's in Vegas. Friday, LA's at the Rangers at the world's most famous. So you get every pick, every game, every sport, every day, plus boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com sets the standard. It's cheap. The return is sickening. Everybody's digging it. Sign up today. All right. So I'm watching this hockey game as well, Carver High. Your boys... Vegas in trouble, 2-1 in the second with 8 minutes to go. So they jumped on Fleury for a couple of goals. What do you think of that?
It's his first night back. We'll get a little bit of rust out. I thought he'd. My big thing tonight was Carolina coming back to back after playing last night in Anaheim, I believe. I liked that matchup for the Knights. They could still pull this one out.
Yeah, it's still a good game. Tough for Fleury to be sharp tonight, do you think, after being out for so long?
I think that he probably, it is tough. It's been a quite a few weeks since he's played. And I know you, on the back of his mind, you know he's got to be thinking about Thursday night when the Penguins come to town, right? I mean, that has to be on Fleury's mind a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think that's fairly accurate. They, in my view, they have not been playing well, though. I don't like what I'm seeing from them at all. They give up way too many goals. They mess around with everyone they play. They lose games to, like, the Avs. They can barely beat anyone. Vegas just tied it, by the way, at two. So they mean business, that team. Do you think they're in the playoffs for sure?
No, I don't think it's a definite. Not at all.
Really?
Really.
Boy, Carver High turning on the...
Turning on them.
Turning on the Knights.
With the start that they had, they should be, but there's a lot of unknowns there, and I think we need to get to, like, February 1st before we can make that determination.
So you think they're going to melt down the stretch?
You just said it. They give up a lot of goals.
Vegas?
Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right, so let me ask you this question emphatically. Can you even – we barely discussed it. I'm hearing out there in the SPU newsroom that it's not that serious. Grade one, what does that mean about the ligament?
Well, it's like I said, it's the same type of thing that Tanaka had a few years ago where if you give it some rest and if you don't necessarily need Tommy John. Now, if it gets worse – you would eventually need the surgery. Now, Tanaka's never had it, and that first came up probably 2 or 3 years ago with him, and he's pitched through it. And other reports that came out right after. So obviously the Jeff Passan report comes out, and now a whole bunch of other people jump in and go, we knew that already. There was one scout that said we knew that about him. Another scout for another team said that was disclosed to us. So this isn't like something.
So they
that,
claim it's no big deal.
Apparently everybody knew about this.
And they still went and got him.
And they when all the people started bidding on him, they didn't seem to care.
So does this mean they're not going to let him pitch?
That I do not know.
Have you seen this guy's pitching ability? Have you ever seen movement like that?
Obviously, we've all seen the highlights of him, and he's got some filthy stuff. There's no doubt about
that. The ball moves like it's dancing. It's like it's a wiffle ball.
Now you know why he has a grade one tear of his UCL.
Do you think? I mean, it really is magical watching his pitch move. It moves like nothing I've ever seen. Have you ever seen anyone move like that?
No.
I mean, his pitches move like it is like it's on a it's a boomerang. It looks like a yo-yo. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
He can do that, and he can hit jacks. And like I said to you the other night, they're going to find out which one he's better at, whether it's pitching or hitting, and they could talk all they want how he's going to do both. But down the line, one's going to become more important than the other, and that's going to be the one that he does.
Do you think that it's all he's overhyped and that he'll ever live up to it?
I don't know. It's hard. You see a lot of these guys that come over who played over in Japan, and they have really good starts at the beginning. And I'm talking more in the pitchers because Ichiro obviously had a ton of success.
Right.
And you could say Hideki Matsui had a ton of success with the Yankees. But you look at some of the pitchers, whether it be Nomo, you know, they're big flashes at the beginning and then kind of levels off after that.
All right, we'll talk more about it as the night goes on. And I want to talk later about this game at the Garden again, because Lonzo actually had a big game tonight for the Lakers. But the big story is not him, even though he had a good game tonight. Fairly, I mean, those numbers for him tonight were very strong, if you ask me, because I don't think he's been that player at all. But tonight he showed up at the world's most famous and put on a decent performance. There's no doubt about it. And then his like dad was there, his brothers were there, his mother was there. They were all there. And then, but the big story is how his brothers are going to play pro ball on like the worst Lithuanian team in the league, and they're going to make like a nickel a pop playing in these games over in Lithuania. And what's going to happen to them in Lithuania really is the question. I mean, things went really well for the one in China. I mean, he's had a terrific, you know, worldly escape from reality when he went over to China. He you know, went to prison, and then he came back to UCLA. His daddy thinks that they're mistreating him, so now he's gone pro in Lithuania. And then, like, Valanciunas even said, they better work, because if they don't work, they're not going to last there. It's no joke. And I think, I really believe that they actually think it is a joke.
That's exactly what they think it is.
I think they think everything's a joke. School, playing. I mean, you know it's a joke when your kid's having 90 points in a high school game, right? That's when you don't see anyone else on the floor, and you're just a ball hog. And then you pull your kid out of high school, you pull your kid out of college. I want to know what people think of that he's letting them go to Lithuania. Do you even think they'll come back from Lithuania? Or will they come back in a body bag? I'm serious. I'm not even kidding. And we'll talk next with Matt Moore of CBS Sports about NBA Rack and that game of the Garden tonight.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts C-Store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every 855-212-4CBS. So, Matt Moore's with CBSSports.com, our NBA insider on the network, and he's back on the bench to talk a little pro rack. How you doing there, Matt? Happy holidays.
Doing well, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, so I got to ask you, I watched did you watch the Knicks-Laker game tonight?
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was, I thought it was fun. I mean, there was a... You know, obviously there was a stretch in that game in the third when it was actually Porzingis and Ball going back and forth and hitting huge shots. I thought that was one of Ball's better games as a pro tonight at the Garden, and front of his family, whatever, 17-8-6. He had only one turnover, and I know that the Garden was booing him, which means you're doing something right as a visitor, and after all the hype and everybody's, you know, booing him and everything. So that obviously means you're special when they're booing you in your first trip ever to the Garden. And then watching Porzingis drop 37 and have five blocks and the Knicks win the game in overtime. What did you think of Ball's performance? For once, instead of talking about how bad he is and how bad he shoots and how terrible his three is and his release, I actually thought he had a good game.
He did. He had a good game going, and he has these every now and again. Like, with Ball, it's not, you know, he's not going to be a bust. That's pretty evident. The question is just, like, how good is he going to be? And that's still up, I think, for debate. But I thought tonight he played really well. When he played, you know, one of the guys that's contributing to a greater effort, I think he's really good. And
all right, so we lost him. Horrible phone signal there. So it is what it is. We'll get him. Minnesota up on Philly, 88-84, with 4 minutes left. And another good game is Phoenix and Sacramento. The fourth quarter just started in Sacramento, the Golden 1 Center, and that game's tied at 74. I did notice that Willie Cauley-Stein cut off all of his dreads, Carver High.
Really?
Yeah, so the big dread hairdo that he had rocking is all gone. There he is with a clean haircut right there for the first time I've ever seen him not rocking some wild hairdo. So he looks pretty clean cut, like all businessman. He could be like doing a Gucci spot or something.
Oh, well, maybe he's looking to update the profile, looking to add a couple of extra endorsements.
Sponsors.
To the tag.
Maybe
yeah.
Get some, you know, business portfolio going. So let me get your reaction, Carver High, while we try to track down Matt, who's fallen off into a well. What do you think of those two brothers going to Lithuania?
I think it's a joke, actually. I think it's a big joke. These are two kids. They're kids. They're teenagers. And you're going to go throw them in some lower division Lithuanian league for them to do what? What is that going to do for them? Is that going to help their game, really? Honestly.
They're the team they're going to play for is the worst team in the league.
How do the kids honestly feel about this? You know you'll never find out until they write a book 20 years from now, but how do the kids honestly feel about this?
They're probably thrilled that they're going to be paid a nickel a game. They
that
probably
kid
think
was,
that's
that
fantastic.
That kid was chilling at UCLA. Just chilling
trying
out
to make friends.
Yeah, and this guy, and now he's going to go play fourth division ball in Lithuania?
Against a bunch of men.
With his little brother?
Gee, do you think they'll be hanging out with one another?
Who else are they going to hang out with?
No one. I mean, those two will be inseparable. Not that they wouldn't anyway, but it's just crazy, right? I mean, how are they going to survive? Is mommy and daddy going to move over there with them?
That's
or?
The thing. I mean, doesn't he have to go watch Lonzo play all the time? How's he going to watch the other two kids play out in Lithuania?
Do you think they're safe there? Do you think they have like some kind of guarantees from the club that they'll be protected and safe and everything?
I hope so.
Aren't they too?
They're going to Siberia. Come on.
They're like kids, right? They're little kids.
I can't believe what's going on with that.
I guess the one. What is the one? Like he's at least 18, right?
Right. The one that was going to be in UCLA.
The UCLA. So we got Matt back. Matt just hit a snow pile on the freeway and somehow has managed to come through the other side. Matt, we're talking about Ball's kids that they're sending to Lithuania to play on that crappy Pro League team that's in last place that they're going to make around a nickel a game. What was your first reaction when you heard that they were going to go play over there and that their dad was going to send them over there to be, I guess, allegedly pros? I don't know if you could even call it that.
I mean, I think it's a bummer just because that's not a good environment for them to play in. Like, there are great overseas leagues, you know, in Spain and some of the other ones. Even Greece is good. Like, Lithuania is not one of the ones to discuss like that. There have been some great players that come out of there, but that is not one of the higher regarded leagues. And even still, like, you know, it's clear they're just trying to get these kids into pro systems to try and boost their profile. And you know, there are problems with the process of how guys go through from high school to college to NBA, and AAU has problems and college has issues, not the least of which is getting them paid. And then the NBA has issues with development and how kids drop out, but there is at least a process, and they're trying to skirt around all of that, and that just doesn't seem like it's a good plan for their future. And some of that's because of their talent level. It'd be different if they were more talented, but you know, I think that with the amount of jokes that family receives, I just think it's kind of unfortunate that this is where they're headed versus maybe another path based off of both their skill level and what would be best for them as players.
Do you think that they're going to be safe there? And do you think that they should have been pulled out of high school and college the way the father did that?
You know, I can't speak to the safe question. I'm not an expert on, you know, where Lithuania is at in terms of that stuff, or crime rate, or international stability or anything like that. What I can say is, you know, most of the players that are there overseas, they'll have handlers and they'll have people that are watching out for them. Ball is connected enough that, to where LeVar will most likely make sure that they're taken care of in a way that's appropriate. There's never been any sort of indication that LeVar does anything that's reckless or harmful to his kids. It's just that he self-promotes to an excessive degree. I don't think pulling him out was the right move. I think that sticking with it probably was a better approach, especially considering, you know, he had a lot of success with Lonzo at UCLA. That got him the number two pick. And trying to go around it seems a little excessive. I understand he was upset about how things went down, but like I said, the whole thing just seems a little bit, the story keeps getting wilder and more out of control, and I'm not sure that that's a good sign for the kids at this point.
What do you think of the Lakers telling him to cool it? How long do you think it'll be before they ban him from Staples?
Within the year, probably. I mean, you know, if they hit a skid, which they are very much likely to, not just that they've been bad overall, but if they really hit a skid and Lonzo hits a rookie wall and he's not playing as much as LeVar thinks he's going to, he's going to get louder. The more that they try and shut him down, the louder he's going to get. They can tell the reporters not to talk to the families in the family section. He's still going to find ways to get his message out, and he'll be critical. It's going to be an ongoing drama. They knew this when they signed up for Lonzo, and they said it wasn't going to bother them. He's going to test that resolve.
Do you think, Matt Moore with us at CBSSports.com, do you think the Thunder are going to fix their problems?
I continue to be an optimist, and every time I'm like, no, like I think there's real reason that they're going to be okay. They do stuff like they get waxed by 18 by Charlotte, a really bad team. Like, every time I think that they've started to turn it around, they win 3 of 4. Okay, it wasn't pretty, but at least they got some wins. Maybe they're figuring some stuff out. They get Paul George back. Then they have another bad loss. There's still a lot of reasons. Their defense is legitimately great. They have a great defense. And their problem is that they can't figure out how to get Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and Paul George to score enough. That doesn't really seem like it's intuitive. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So you assume things are going to get back on track. A lot of it gets down to this. Do you think that the reigning MVP, Russell Westbrook, is all of a sudden an inefficient player that makes bad decisions consistently almost every time out? Or is he having a really bad stretch to start the season? I'm not ready to sell all my Westbrook stock yet, so I think they're going to be okay.
What do you think of Kawhi Leonard coming back tonight? And he left the court at one point or another. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, you know, he got shut down and was going back for more treatment. So, you know, we'll see kind of where it goes. This condition that he's got, the tendinopathy, is supposed to be pretty complicated and can really flare up pretty easy. It's one of those things that only gets better with rest, which is why he's been out so long. Hopefully it's not related to that. You know, we'll see what happened. He looked great when he came back, because he always does, because he's a machine. But apparently the machine needs some repairs because he continues to have these issues. And the Spurs are doing fine so far, so it's okay. But it does make you a little bit nervous for how his season's going to go.
I love watching this Sixers team. They came back on Minnesota tonight and are basically, I think, either up one or two in this final minute of this game in mini. What do you think of that team? I love watching Embiid and Simmons and, frankly, the rest of them, too. Saric.
They're crazy versatile. They're way more versatile than I thought they were going to be. I thought they would have a lot of athleticism, but they wouldn't be able to shoot efficiently, and they'd be pretty bad defensively with all the young guys. Defensively, they have nights where they're really good. They're still inconsistent because they're a young team, but Saric's outside shooting and obviously the addition of J.J. Redick, they're able to spread the floor. Simmons is way better than I thought he'd be, and not just because of kind of his poise and controlling where his body is, but he's really good at attacking mismatches. When they put a small guy on him, he puts him in the post. When they put a big on him, he works them in the pick and roll. His ability to manipulate whatever the defense throws at him is way beyond where I thought it would be at this point.
So can you believe even how Phoenix is playing without Booker? Like, when he went down, I thought they were toast. They're, like, winning in Sacramento tonight. And, you know, they've been given every night, it doesn't matter who they play, they give them a game.
They've been better. There's a lot. I think there's some good signs there. I think once they got rid of Earl Watson, who I really just think was not well equipped to coach that team, you know, they have some talent there. I think Dragan Bender gives them a lot defensively. Mike James is coming in nowhere, and he's been great for them as a point guard, being able to give them a lift. They've got some guys on that team that can really play. We'll see if they can actually make something of it, or if this is just kind of a December blip, but it is kind of promising. I think part of what they're taking advantage of, though, is that the West really isn't all that great. That opens the door for Phoenix, teams like Phoenix, to maybe steal some or hang in there, because the West is not nearly the kind of conference that we thought it was going to be.
You know, Matt Moore, finally, I got a minute. You see, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said he thinks the NBA is replacing the NFL as America's league and America's game. Do you buy that? I mean, the ratings are huge, through the roof for the NBA right now. What do you think?
I think the bar is getting closer. I think that you've still got generations that have viewed the NFL as the sport. My dad's an NFL fan, was never an NBA fan. His grandfather was an NFL fan, not an NBA fan. It's going to take time, but I do think that the younger generation really connects with this sport. And I think with all the negative stories that the NFL has generated over the last 2 years, the NBA is a sport that I think everybody can feel good about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Matt, great stuff, brother. Have a great holiday and New Year. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy the NBA the rest of this week and through the holidays.
Thanks, man. Happy holidays.
All right, Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. By the way, Butler just hit a huge shot to give the T-Wolves the lead over Philly, but it's only 2 points, and there's still 16 seconds left in the game. It's 198 mini with 16.8 seconds left in that game. Phoenix up 85-80 on Sacramento with 6 minutes to go. So still some decent ends to these NBA games going on right now. It's Pharrell on a bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.